Hey, it's Canzano. I appreciate that you listen to the podcast. Make sure you subscribe and also leave us some feedback. Rate us. Give us a review. Thanks for listening. Hope you enjoy.
Initialize sequence.
Welcome to The Baldcast, a production of John Canzano's Bald-Faced Truth.
I looked back into the archives of this show and realized that Mitch Canham came on this radio show in 2007. That's the last time we've had Mitch Canham on the show. He is back making his reemergence here on this program 12 years later, and he's back being introduced today as the new baseball coach at Oregon State, and I welcome him here. You were just a kid last time we talked.
I'm still young. Excited to be back on, but I guess there's some gray hairs here and there poking out, but my wife tries not to point them out to me.
I love what you said at the news conference today, that this was the only job you ever really dreamed about. What'd you mean by that?
I fell in love instantly as soon as I stepped on campus. No doubt about it. Met the coaches, met the players, it felt right. And much of my childhood, we moved around a lot. I moved like 13 times before I was in sixth grade. And when we got down here and I was attending Oregon State, it was so refreshing to just be, you know, in one place and be fully committed to it. And professional baseball, playing for 9 years, jumping around, and always on the move, shipping a car here, or hitting a flight there, or riding bus rides up and down. I mean, it was an exciting time and a great opportunity. And then getting to manage for 4 years. But, you know, I get to be home.
Pretty cool. Will you go back to 06, 07? You win, you and your teammates win back-to-back national championships. When you got to Oregon State, was that the goal, or does that just happen because you take care of business every day?
It was the formation of a strong culture, and that then led to our behaviors each and every day, and that was working our tails off, pushing each other extremely hard, holding each other accountable, enjoying each other's brotherhood off the field. I think that the culture and the support of everyone a part of the program was tremendous and is tremendous and will continue to be tremendous, which has led to such great success.
Did you talk to Pat Casey along the way here?
I've had a relationship with Case ever since I stepped on campus. You know, from even after I had finished playing here, we'll occasionally connect and talk about both on-field, off-field stuff. I'm asking for advice. You know, hey, this kind of situation came up. What are your thoughts here? Or, you know, guys are kind of feeling this way. What's a way to get them to amp up a little bit, you know? I think that's just part of he's a mentor and he cares about all his former student athletes. And I think all of us have, you know, a bit of a relationship with him and seek his counsel.
Will he be available to you, continue to be available to you? Because I know mentors, I always tell young people, find a mentor. It looks like you found one when you played for him.
I'm very blessed. I do have a strong network of people that really help me out, are willing to give their time and provide some insight to situations, and Coach Casey definitely being one of them, yes.
We're talking to Mitch Canham. He's the new baseball coach at Oregon State. He's coming home. He's charged with continuing tradition. Where do Nate Yeske and Pat Bailey stand on your staff?
These guys, both of them are tremendous. Tremendous human beings, tremendous coaches, and extremely, extremely good friends. So the first thing I want to do is I want to connect with them. Everything's been going pretty quick since the announcement has been made, and I want to sit down with them. I want to have some good conversations. Two amazing men, and that's the first item on my list is to talk with the staff and get everything squared away.
Will they be retained? I kind of heard that said during the news conferences. And was it hard for you to compete for a job? I mean, I know Nate Yeske, Pat Bailey are friends. You're friends with them. It's like three guys who are buddies who all are charged towards, you know, getting, only one can get the job. And then at the end, you got to kind of figure out how it works from there on out. It's tricky.
Yeah. And I think, you know, no matter what the great thing is it's someone in the family, you know, and it's someone who knows the people and our standards. And I mean, you know, like whoever gets the position, I know there's going to be tremendous support. And I already feel it. Once the announcement was made and, I'm now the head coach. I've already had my phone hasn't stopped beeping or phone calls coming in just from support of everyone who's ever been a part of the program, and that means the world to my family and I to know that we're going somewhere where there are strong expectations and we're prepared for those, but it's really warming to know we're going into a place of love and care, and everything's going to be great.
Mitch Canham is with us, two-time national champion as a player at Oregon State, is now back at Oregon State, introduced today as the head baseball coach. Who was your first phone call after I assume Scott Barnes calls you, says you got the job, you get off the phone, who's your first phone call?
Well, it was pretty cool. My dad drove up from Lebanon, and my best friend since fifth grade, Ryan, they knew I was flying in. So they had surprised me over at the hotel. And so that was to get the news with them there was put a huge smile on my face to get to have those hugs. But first person I called was my wife. I FaceTimed her, and tears of joy, no doubt about it. And I'm going to be flying back there to gather our things and give hugs to all the guys that were, the players I had with the Mariners in Little Rock and the phenomenal staff that I had there. Give them hugs as well. And I FaceTimed those guys as well, and the whole team together, and had a big smile, and they were excited. But definitely first phone call is going to my wife. She's my rock.
I had a lot of people who say, I tell them, hey, I'm a sports writer, radio host in Oregon, and they'll say, how did Oregon State baseball become a power? Like, why Oregon State? What do you say to people who ask you that question when you're in pro ball and traveling around? They ask you, what happened at Oregon State? What's the magic there?
Well, anytime you ask someone who played there and they start to, get that glow on their face and they get excited to talk about it, then you instantly know before they even say anything, how much it means to go there and how special it made you feel and how much you developed as a human being. Playing collegiate baseball at the very highest level, so it's just been a gradual climb and steady and very, very cautious and aware of who you're bringing in to be a part of the program and the people that have been involved care tremendously. That's a huge part of it, is that that love factor is huge.
Pat Casey in 07, you guys were ready to win that second one, and I went to church with him in Omaha. And on the walk back, I said, you know, there's teams here that have more talent than you have. You know, how do you explain the fact that you're about to win this thing? And he said, I don't need all the best players. I just need some of them.
Mm-hmm.
Is that true? Like, you just need the right ones? Is that what you're talking about?
Yeah, you need the people that buy in. I mean, to have a cohesive culture, you know, you have to have everyone, like, move in the same direction. And he's not always, like, the most talented. Yeah, we remember going in there, and we always felt like some of the other teams had more talent physically than us. But at the same time, we knew what we were capable of doing. We weren't leaving until we put everything we had out on that field. And we knew that, like, that was going to give us our best chance. And that's all you can ask for, is putting your best foot forward and be present. And we did a great job at that. And they continue to do a great job at that. So, you know, and that doesn't always mean you have to be, you know, have the strongest arm or run the fastest. It just means, you know, you need to train the right way and be prepared for those moments so the best version of yourself can come out.
I'm really happy you're home. I think a lot of Oregon State fans feel like Oregon State got this right, and it feels like the family will be kept together. And congrats to you, man. I mean, what an opportunity, what an honor to go back to Oregon State all these years later. You know, you are a winner there. You get a chance to be a winner there as a coach.
I'm extremely excited. Thank you for having me on and taking the time.
You bet. We'll get you back on closer to the season after you've settled in. I appreciate you, Mitch, and congrats to you.
Thank you, John.
There he is, Mitch Canham. Really good stuff. Here's what I'm impressed with when it comes to Mitch Canham. I'm impressed, first and foremost, that it looks like Oregon State, which I thought had a really tricky hire, choosing between Pat Bailey and Nate Yeske, took a step back and went, let's get a guy that maybe can make Yeske and Bailey work together. Because I think, you know, Yeske probably will get opportunities. I don't know if he's going to be part of the staff moving forward. I know they say he is. I know they say he'll be the pitching coach. But I also think that Oregon State found a way to make this work. Second thing is, Canham reminds me in sort of his philosophy and the way he speaks, he's got a little Pat Casey in him. And I think Oregon State, had it just been more patient, may have had Pat Casey back. But I think they found a way to get maybe the next Pat Casey into the program. Third thing, he's played there and he's won there. Don't look now, but Scott Barnes has now hired two consecutive big coaches in Jonathan Smith and Mitch Canham, who played there and won there, who knows the challenges, who knows the advantages, who understands the recruiting landscape, who can speak to recruits and saying, look, I came here, why not you? I think in that, I understand what Barnes is trying to do. He's got a plan. It makes sense. I like that as well. 503-417-7575. Tell me what you think of this hire if you're an Oregon State fan. I will also talk about my plans for the weekend, which include roasting a whole pig. That's right. I kind of blew it last summer with my pig roast opportunity. And by blew it, I mean by the time I finished roasting the pig, it was like 9:30 at night. And I could barely see the pig. But we'll talk about that coming up. Also, later in the show, we'll be joined by Oregon Ducks baseball hire Mark Wasatowski. He'll be joining us, and he's going to talk about, he's being introduced just a little few minutes from now, but he's going to join us with his first interview. By the way, that was Mitch Canham's first one-on-one interview after his news conference. We got first licks, so to speak, in baseball. Leave it here. You got the bald-faced truth. So I know that today's show is going to be heavy on new coaches and stuff like that, but I'm also going to be talking some barbecue on today's show. I, last summer, because my family's visiting every summer, they visit, and we have a contest, a cooking contest, more or less, because there's like 20 people staying at the house, so you can't just cook for 20 every day. It's just not fair. So we divvy up the duties. And we invite friends and family over. And
I want to be invited this year.
You'll get invited.
I need to get involved in this.
All right. So last summer, we decided we want to roast a pig. By we, I mean Anna and I decide that our secret entry is going to be luau. That's going to be our theme. We're going to roast a pig, a whole pig. And we're going to, she has a friend who is a hula dancer. We brought her over. She hula danced. We had tiki torches, Lay's, you know, she did like spam fried rice, the macaroni salad. It was a very Hawaiian thing. Like you would have thought you were in Maui or Lanai, except you weren't. You were in Oregon. The problem I had was I had never roasted a pig before. First time. Like all things, I don't get things right the first time. I'm kind of like that vacuum cleaner that has to find its way around the room, the automatic vacuum cleaner. I bump into all the walls. But ultimately, the things I did wrong were the pig was too big. I got a pig that was too big for the number of people we were feeding. It took too long to cook. And I didn't put it in the ground. I got this box. It's called La Caja China. You can find it online. It's awesome. Box is awesome. Wasn't the box's fault. The fact that I'd never used the box before was a problem because I didn't understand that cooking time starts not when you put the pig in the box and you light the box on fire, more or less. And it starts when the cooking temperature rises to a certain level. So I misinterpreted the cooking time, and I had a pig that was probably 25 pounds too big. So we ate at 9:30 at night. Adriana was there. You saw, go ahead.
Yeah, so there were leftovers. I'm pretty sure you probably still have leftovers from that thing.
We did freeze about a third of the pig.
But honestly, we didn't eat until really late, but like the fixins that y'all had was like what made it to me.
Yeah, we had the hula dance. What'd you think of the hula dancer?
She was good. She really set the tone.
She was a hit.
Nice.
Bobby, if you were barbecuing in this contest or cooking in this contest, what would you be cooking?
I'd do flank steak. That's what I'd barbecue, flank steak. Mm. Yeah, I'd marinate it, and I'm good with that. And I'd feel confident that I could.
Would you do sides? Because you have to do, you could have a team. You could bring a second person or third person even into the fold. You could bring Adriana into the fold. She could do the sides.
Yeah, tag team, and I'll make whole bowls for everyone.
There you go. I'd bring her.
Flank and whole bowls.
Yeah, she's good. I like that. So
I've been in contact with my butcher.
She's confident of the sides.
Been in contact with my butcher. I am picking up the whole pig after the show today.
You're doing it again.
I'm doing it this weekend because I have to. I have to practice for the summer.
So what size are you getting now, though?
I'm going with a smaller pig. That pig that the pig that I did last summer was almost 80 pounds,
jeez,
fully dressed. This pig that I'm picking
fully
up to
dressed. I don't know what that means.
That means by the time it's ready to cook.
Okay.
Basically, it's been through the butcher process.
Okay.
And it's ready to. It's just ready to cook. You're not. You know. I don't want to get into the gory details. it's not for everyone. But like my sister, who's like, I'll just come over when it's time to eat. She doesn't want to see any of this process. A lot of people want to see the process. You know, I got friends who are wanting, like, can I stop by? And I said, but you can't look into the box. You put the pig into the box, then you put the charcoal briquettes on top of the box, and then the box is aluminum, so it the heat radiates and cooks the pig, but you don't open the box until it's time to eat. You know what could go with the pig, though? Little beer from Breakside Brewery could go with this pig. And we're going to get Mason from Breakside, who's going to come on next. And by the way, Breakside is the official beer sponsor of the BFT Foundation Celebrity Golf Tournament. So I want to know the story of Breakside, some beer and barbecue next.
We interrupt this broadcast with a special announcement from the Baltimore.
Sorry to interrupt the podcast, but If you want to listen to more of the Bald Faced Truth Radio Show, including more of this segment that you're listening to, make sure you subscribe on SoundCloud and iTunes to the Bald Faced Truth Radio Show. Thanks for listening.